to the book of 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. 1 Chronicles, chapter 16. And again, as I say a lot, go home and read this for yourself. I don't have time to read all that I want to point out today, but we're specifically going to be looking at verses 7 through 12. So 1 Chronicles 16, 7 through 12. And then further down in 1 Chronicles 16, there 34 and 36. But again, I encourage you to go home and read this for yourself. The word of the Lord says in 1 Chronicles 16, 7, "Then on that day, David delivered from this psalm to thank the Lord into the hand of Asaph and his brethren. Give thanks unto the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among his people, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of his wonderful works, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice and seek the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and his judgments of his mouth." And then on down, verses 34 and 36 say, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks to thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel forever and ever." And all his people said, "Amen," and they praised the Lord. This morning, just for a few moments, just for a little bit, just being respectful of your time and just being respectful for God's word, I just want to minister on the topic of developing a spirit of thanksgiving. Can we go to the Lord in prayer? Father God, we come to you today, Lord, and in this short time that we have, in these few moments that we have together with you in this place with God's people, we're asking that your Holy Spirit would enter this place, that your Holy Spirit would activate Himself in our hearts and lives, that you would illuminate, Lord, in our mind what this word says to us. We're asking that you would send the preacher, that you would send the teacher, that you would send your word, Lord God, that we would set ourselves aside this morning, Lord Jesus. Anything that's happened today, anything that's happening later on this week, Lord God, we would simply set that aside and that we would focus on you right now. We're asking for your Holy Spirit to do his office work this morning. In your name we pray, amen and amen. You know, thankfulness, as we approach this holiday of Thanksgiving, thankfulness in this day and age seems to be a lost art with some. As we go through the world, as we talk to people, as we meet with people, we see that we're not as thankful as we used to be. And there was an American pastor, his name was Warren Wiesbe, and he illustrated this very thing in his commentary on Colossians. He told a story about a ministerial student in Illinois who was part of a life-saving squad. And in 1860, a ship went down at Lake Michigan near Evanston. And Edward Spencer waded into the water again and again, into the frigid cold waters of Lake Michigan, pulling out 17 passengers again and again, going in, saving lives. In the process, his health was permanently damaged, so much so that they believed that it caused his death. When they had his funeral some years later, they noted that not one person, not one of the 17 that he had rescued, had come back to ever give him thanks for rescuing him. So as we look at this holiday of Thanksgiving, as we look at this time that we in America and in other parts of the world, we stop and we give thanks, my goal this morning is to understand why we should give thanks to God and what that actually means for us to give thanks to God. And in the scripture that we read this morning, we see five great words in this scripture that have to do with giving or giving thanks. And we put together praise, worship, and thankfulness to God. We can put those three things together and see why we should be thankful to God. And the five words in that scripture that we read were give, sing, glory, seek, and remember. Give. The believer must always give thanks to God. Must always give thanks to the one who came down and who purchased our salvation. Sing. It told us to sing about his wonders, to praise him. Glory, that the glory is in his name and not our name. To seek, that we should continually seek his name, to seek him in everything that we do. And to remember his word and his work that he has done for us. Give, sing, glory, seek, and remember. In verse 8, it begins the progression of these words. And it starts with the word give. And not just give, but give thanks. And not only give thanks, but give thanks unto the Lord. It's a direct thing that he's wanting us to do. And it also opens and closes this particular scripture with these words. In 1 Chronicles 16:8, it says, give thanks unto the Lord. And in 1 Chronicles 16:34, it says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord. And it ends in 35 and says, that we may give thanks to thy holy name. He's asking us to give him thanks. And it's a powerful promise that he gives there that we end on in that particular verse. So the question this morning that I have is, why should we give thanks to God? Why should we give thanks to our Lord? What is the purpose of us simply giving thanks to God? You see, when we look out into the world, we turn on the TV or we pick up the newspaper or we may read our email. You see, we don't see a lot of reasons to give thanks, do we? We look into the world and we see destruction and we see defeat and we see the continual desolation that sin has done to this earth. And it might be hard for us, it might be difficult for us at times to say, why should I give thanks? We might look into our own lives and see what this particular year has given us. We might say, why? What am I supposed to give thanks for? We may be looking out to the future and think, I'm never going to make the goal I wanted to get. Why should I give thanks? Well, as a believer, the Word of God tells us that we should give thanks unto the Lord. And simply, the definition of thankful means glad that something has happened or not happened. That's the most basic, simple thing that the dictionary gives us. But it also goes along to tells us that to be thankful is a decision. You see, we can choose to be thankful or we can choose to be unthankful. It's a choice that we actively make. It's a choice that we actively make when we're going to do something. When someone hands us something, when someone does something, we actively say, well, thank you. Thank you for that. Or sometimes we see people and they just go on and they don't do anything. So it's a choice that we make to be thankful. Keeping an attitude of thankfulness keeps us from being ungrateful. Think about that for a moment. It keeps us from being ungrateful. Because when we have to thank someone for something that they did for us, it automatically reminds us that we need to be grateful for what that person did. Grateful for that work that person performed. So it's a picture for us of what Christ has done for us. Why we should be thankful to him because of what he's done for us. So ungratefulness or thankfulness attitudes leads to selfishness. And selfishness, truly, at its uttermost low, leads to an absence of God. If we're selfless, if we're thankful less, we see an absence from God. We see God begin to go away from us. So the question this morning, why should I give thanks to God? I've come up with, just five simple things of why on this day, on this year, at this particular time, as believers in Christ, we should give thanks to God. So, number one, we give thanks to God because giving thanks is a choice. In Psalm 7:17, in the King James, it says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord on Most High. Well, if we flip over to the NASB, which is another literal translation of the Bible, and I'm not trying to get into translations this morning, but just know that both of these are true translations. We see the NASB say, instead of I will praise, it says, I will give thanks to the Lord because of his righteousness, and I will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. And when we look at this in the Hebrew, both of these translations mean the same thing. We see that praise and giving thanks are the same Hebrew word. So now we can tie praise and we can tie thanks together and say, in my praise, I'm supposed to give thanks. In my thanks, I'm supposed to give praise. Amen? That's what he's telling us here. So praise means to express praise, to extol, to make a public confession of the attributes or acts of the power of the person. And thanks means to give thanks, to give an expression of praise for a person. So they're intertwined. These two words really have the same meaning when we start looking at these. So we move on to Psalms 30:12, and it says, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. And Psalms 35:18 says, I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise thee among much people. Again, we're seeing thanks and praise tied together. We're supposed to thank him, and in our thanks, we're supposed to praise him. And in our praise, we're supposed to give praise to him, but we're also supposed to thank him. You see, they're correlated together. When we praise God, we should be thanking God. Each passage uses the same meaning of praise and the same meaning of thanks. Again, praise and thanks tied together in one thought, in one action. You see, when we look at our lives, lives can be tied together. It can be shown. It can be described in really two different ways. Unthankful and thankful. Unthankful, of course, being the opposite of thankful. And when we think about unthankful, we think of always looking to ourselves. Always looking to what we've done. Not stopping to thank those who might have helped us, no matter what the help might have been. And when we look at thankful, typically we look towards the positive. It feels good to thank someone, doesn't it? When someone does something for them and you say thank you, it feels good to do that. And I don't know about you, but some of my friends at work, you know, when we go out to eat for lunch, you know, whenever the waitress brings me something, I always stop and say thank you because that person is serving me. And sometimes they give me a hard time about that because if they bring me a refill, if they bring me something I ask for, thank you, because I'm thankful for that person, all right? How much more so should I be thankful to Jesus Christ, the one who purchased my salvation, the one who provided my justification? We should be thankful. So thankfulness, praise unto God, brings us to a spiritual realm, a new spiritual realm with him, a spiritual likeness with him that we can thank him. It's a positive attitude with him. So the Bible tells us scripture after scripture about the believer being thankful, but it also gives us scripture after scripture about the believer being unthankful. It warns us, and I don't have time today to go through all the scriptures about being unthankful. That's not my topic today. My topic today is being thankful. But just one scripture that warns us about being unthankful is 2 Timothy 3:1-5, and it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, fierce despisers of those who are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." And without digging into this scripture, we see three basic things. In short, it tells us when it's going to happen, in the last days. Church, we're in the last days. I believe that we're in the last of the last days. I believe that we're ending this age that we're in right now. I believe that Christ is going to break the eastern sky soon enough and come down and rapture his church. We're in the last days. Number two, it tells us what to look for. And it gives us the attribute of people. And if you notice in there, they're selfish and they're unthankful, along with all the other things that are mentioned. And then it tells us what to do, to turn away from that. God is looking for a heart that will praise him. God is looking for a heart that will give him thanks. God is looking for a heart that will praise and thank him and place their faith in him for who he is and what he's done. You see, I like the story of the first Thanksgiving in America. It was founded upon being thankful in times of a very difficult situation, more difficult probably than any of us could have ever imagined, more difficult than any of us have probably ever went through. You see, the first American Thanksgiving didn't occur until 1621. And we all know the story, the group of pilgrims and the group of Indians that came together and they gave thanks. Well, the first recorded Thanksgiving took place in Virginia 11 years earlier. But you know what? It wasn't a feast. It was the winter of 1610 in Jamestown, and it had reduced the group of settlers from 409 to 60. 409 settlers to 60. The survivors, they prayed for help. without knowing if help would come, without knowing how it would come, how it would show up. When help arrived, it arrived from a ship filled with supplies and food from England. And as soon as that ship arrived, do you know what those settlers did? They had a prayer meeting. They stopped and they gave thanks. They gave praise to God. You see, in the time that we live in today, in the America we live in today, we won't stop and give thanks if something happens, will we? We simply go on. We forgot. We forgot to stop and give thanks. 409-60, they stopped and they gave thanks. You see, the individuals, they could look at their situation in two different ways. They could have focused on the negative, and trust me, there was negative to look at. I'm sure that they lost many friends, many family members, many of the people that they had grown to love on the trip over, many of the people that they had worked with and toiled with. There was negative things that had happened. I'm sure that they had to watch things and watch people pass because they had no way to help them. I'm sure it was a terrible moment. But they stopped and they gave thanks to God. During the hardship, they stopped and they didn't question why. They stopped and they gave thanks. Instead, the people focused on what God had done, how God had answered the prayer, and they gave him thanks. You see, giving thanks was a choice for them. In the most difficult time that they faced, they chose to stop and give praise and give thanks to God. And then the scripture that we read this morning, we see David giving thanks, not because of who he was, not because of the things that he was doing, not because he thought he was some kind of supernatural being, but giving thanks because it was a choice, giving praise because it was a choice for who his God was, for what his God was doing for him, for what his God was going to do for him. Number two, we give thanks to God because God is near. We've talked about it before. Psalms 75:1 says, "Unto thee, O God, do we give thanks. Unto thee, do we give thanks, for thy name is near, thy wondrous works declare." You see, God is close. Jesus is close as the mention of his name. He is that close to you right now. He is that close. And we all know that God is here. Everyone in this room knows all we have to do is call on that sweet and precious name all the time. Good times, bad times, the times when we don't feel that he is near, he is near. You see, one Saturday afternoon when I was sitting down watching the Buckeyes play, watching Ohio State play, I sat there and I saw all kinds of people cheering for their favorite team. Young, old, different kinds of people cheering. Some cheering for the Buckeyes, some cheering for the other team. Cheering no matter what. And as I was watching, the Lord just kind of placed this thought in my mind. And he said, "Not everyone's happy there. Why do you think they're cheering?" And I stuck on that. I pondered that for a little bit. And I thought, you're right. There's people there with big-time problems. There's people there that are going through things much worse than I could ever imagine. But yet, they're there cheering for a football team, for a team that takes a ball and runs it across the field, for a team that takes a ball and throws it, for a bunch of men that come out and try to stop the other men from going. And they're cheering. During hardship in their life, during struggle in their life, they're cheering for a team who cannot hear them, who doesn't know what they're saying, who simply hears screams and yells from a crowd who could really probably care less that individual was there. They're stopping and they're cheering. How much more should we stop and praise and cheer our God? How much more should we stop and not cheer for a bunch of men on a sports field? How much more should we praise the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who purchased our redemption on Calvary, the one who provided our justification, the one who is providing our sanctification? You see, those people go out and cheer, but that football team has no idea. Your God knows who you are. When you praise him, he knows it's your praise. When you reach out and call on his name, he knows it's you calling on his name. When you sit back and say, "Thank you, Lord," when you sing praise unto his name, he knows and he hears that praise. How much more should we place our praise and our thanks in him? How much more should we give him our excitement? Because he's near, because he loves us, because he paid our sin debt, because he gave us new life and turned us into a new creation. We give thanks unto God because God is good. Psalms 107:1 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good. His mercy endures forever." Psalms 136:1 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever." God loves us. He is good to us. He wants the best for us. He's not some evil God sitting up on a throne waiting for us to mess up, throwing bricks on our way so we'll trip, throwing stumbling blocks on our way. He loves us. He wants the best for us. He wants to make sure that His love is spread upon us. His love and His mercy endure forever. There is no end to His love, and there is no end to His mercy. His love includes His grace. His love includes His mercy. His love includes His faithfulness, His kindness. But you see, when we look at these attributes, especially goodness, we're not looking at the goodness it will produce in me. We're looking at the character of God that it will produce in me, the character of God it will produce in you. I'm not looking to what I can get out of it. I'm looking to what He's going to pour into me. I'm looking for a true agape love, a true kindness, a true mercy, a true grace that He's going to give us. This is the character and the attributes of Christ. This is the character and attributes of a God who loves, a God who is near. Because of His mercy, He is forgiving. Because of His grace, we are saved. Because of His faithfulness, we can place our trust in Him and know that He will be faithful to us. Because of the cross, we can give Him praise and we can give Him thanks. We can be assured that what God starts in our lives, He is sure to finish. He is faithful and just to finish if we simply place our faith and our confidence in who He is and what He's done. Number four, we give our thanks to God because God gives us the victory. And you see, that's a very important thing that we leave out in America today, that God has already provided the victory. He's already won the victory. No matter what battle I've already faced, He's already won the war. If I can simply place my faith in Him. I'm not telling you this morning that it's not going to be difficult. I'm not telling you this morning that there's not going to be trying times. What I'm telling you is, look to your God. He has already won the victory for you. In 1 Corinthians 15:57, it says, "But thanks be to God, which giveth us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is thanking God for giving him something which he did not deserve. We should be thanking our God for giving us something that we did not deserve. We did not deserve the price that He paid for us. We did not deserve the things that He's done for us. We do not deserve the things that He's going to do for us. Paul is thanking Him for giving him something that he did not deserve. In no way could Paul have obtained what he obtained. In no way can we obtain what God has given us. If you think about your life this morning, you think about where He's brought you from, what you were before you got saved, to where you stand at this very moment, to where He's going to take you to, there's no way we could have obtained it on our own, is there? He's doing it for us. He's going to continue to do it for us. He's faithful and just in what He's going to do. God is in the business of complete victory. Not a halfway victory, not an almost victory. You see, everywhere that Jesus went, He brought victory with Him. Every person that He prayed for was healed. Everything that He said came true. He was in the business of complete victory. In everything Jesus did, He won victory. In His final breath on that cross, He proclaimed victory, stating, "It is finished," that He had won the battle. Amen? Everything that He did, He proclaimed victory. And victory denotes enemies in a battle. But it's not a battle that we have won. It's a battle that He has already won. It's an amazing victory provided for us through and by the person of Jesus Christ. The victory that He won on that cross. The verse names the victor, our Lord Jesus Christ. It names Him in His full personal name, His official name, in which our Lord voices faith, confession, and adoration on the believer's part. On my part, He voices faith. He voices adoration. He voices confession to God on my part because He's won the victory because my faith is in Him. God sees my faith and my confession through Jesus Christ. Doesn't that make you thankful this morning that there's nothing that you can do, that Christ has already won the victory, and when God sees that victory, he sees Jesus Christ in you? Hallelujah. This glorious resurrection chapter ends with the name of the one who provided the victory. The victory that was won at Calvary, Jesus Christ. And you know what? That victory, that name, up until this very moment, has not changed. Up until this very moment, the victory is being freely given to those who will accept Him, to those that will put their faith in Him. The victory is being freely given if their faith is properly placed in Him. You see, Jesus Christ is the source, but the Holy Spirit is the means. The Holy Spirit wants to be active in the heart and the life of the believer. He wants to actively be moving, be doing God's work in this world and in your life. If your faith is properly placed, this provides the power that you need to let the Holy Spirit work. The power that Jesus won on Calvary, the victory that He proclaimed there. This gives the Holy Spirit, your faith placed in Him, that finished work of the cross, this gives the Holy Spirit latitude to work in your life. It gives Him power to do what needs to be done in your life and in your situation. To supernaturally, to miraculously do what needs to be done. God is in the business of complete victory. Not a halfway, not a maybe, not a possibly, not, well, it might be a good day, a complete victory all the time. But your faith must remain in Jesus Christ. Your faith must remain in the work that He completed there on that cross. His death, His burial, His resurrection, His ascension. Your faith must remain there squarely with Jesus Christ. We have victory in this life and in the life to come because Jesus defeated Satan. Because Jesus went down and defeated Satan and He won the victory. We give thanks to God because God leads us. 2 Corinthians 2 and 14 says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the Savior of His knowledge by us in every place." We are to give thanks to God because He leads us in triumph. He leads us. If our faith is in Him, if we are following after Him, if we are walking after the Spirit and not after our flesh, He leads us in triumph. He causes us. He, God, the person of Jesus Christ, He causes us. It's not our own ability. That's the idea there. He causes us. Because me and myself, I couldn't cause myself to do anything. Anything that's righteous. Anything that's holy. Even to be thankful on some days, if we'll admit to ourselves, is a tall order, is a tall feat. But He causeth me to do these things. The cause is God, and it's not our own ability. That's the reason Paul is thanking God, because God is causing him to do this. He knew that God was directing him in everything that he did, everywhere that he went, every church that he started, everywhere that he preached, every letter that he wrote, everything that he did, he knew that God was leading him. This is an example for us to thank God and let Him lead. And that's difficult for us, isn't it? It's difficult for me some days because I like to lead. I like to go out and I have a plan. If I go out to do something, I've already got the plan in my head on as far as how it's going to go down, as far as what I need to do the job, as far as what the things I want to accomplish for that day is. But you know what? Sometimes we have to let go and we have to let God. You see, on our jobs, it's easy. We know we've got to go in and do A, B, C, or D. And there's specific times when step B doesn't quite work out, does it? And we have to sit back and we try to think about it. And in those times, if I can just remember to ask God, you know what? He provides the answer. But that's the easy part, isn't it? Life is the difficult part because sometimes we just don't know. Sometimes we don't know the right corner to turn. Sometimes we don't know the right doorway to go through. Simply let God lead. Put your faith in Him and let Him lead you. Communicate with Him. Be in prayer with Him. Know His voice. Know His character. Know where He's leading you. Let Paul's example here help guide us. The triumph of which Paul speaks here gives us an idea of that triumphant procession. And we talked about this in Wednesday night Bible study. This is the same word that's used in Colossians 2 and 15. Having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. This is the same word, the only two times this particular word, triumphing, is used in the New Testament. Triumphing Greek means to make an acclamatory procession, to conquer, to give victory. Not to get victory, to give victory. Christ has given you the victory. We're triumphing over this world, over sin, over death, over the devil, because He triumphed for us. He gave us the victory. Through His glorious work on the cross, He disarmed, He exposed those who were against Him. He disarmed Satan. He disarmed the power of sin in this world. He disarmed the power of sin in our life. When we come to Jesus Christ, when we place our faith in Him continually, daily, that sin nature that resides within us should go dormant. And that spirit man, that new creation, should activate in us. And again, I'm not saying it's easy. It's a daily walk. It's a daily process. But through Him, we can triumph and we can have victory. Notice the qualifier for all this that we see here is in Christ. In Christ. He tells us all these things and He says, in Christ. The victories given to us by God always come through the person, the work of Jesus Christ. He is the one who paid the price. He is the one that completed the work. He is the one who triumphed over Satan. He is the one that provided man's redemption, man's justification. He is the one that purchased my salvation on Calvary. Amen. Just as the old song says, He purchased my salvation. He purchased your salvation. He purchased your redemption. He purchased your justification and your sanctification. And He purchased everything you need as a believer to operate in this earth. He purchased it at Calvary. That's why we should be thankful for Him, to Him. That's why we should praise Him. That's why we should place our faith in Him. Because He defeated the powers of darkness, the principalities and the powers. And He did it all on Calvary. He did it all in His death, His burial, His resurrection. Jesus Christ must ever be the center of who we are and what we do. If we proclaim Him as our Lord and as our Savior, Jesus Christ must be the center of who we are. Jesus Christ must be all that we are. We must not be just Chris the computer guy. I must be Chris the believer in Jesus Christ. Chris whose faith is in Jesus Christ. Chris who is walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, placing his faith in Jesus Christ. Am I going to be able to stand up and proclaim that every day? No. But you know what? Time and time again, I can go back. I can go back to Calvary and I can confess my sin and He is just to forgive me. He has justified me again and again. And He is continuing that sanctification process in me and continuing that sanctification process in you. And He will continue to triumph, to give the victory in your life if you just place your faith in Him, if you simply come back to Him. God leads us in His character. He leads us in the person of Jesus Christ. He leads us in His Word. God brings direction and He brings guidance to lives who seek after Him, who seek after Him in spirit and in truth, who thank Him, who praise Him, who place their confidence in Him. When we completely put our trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, and the work that was done on Calvary, then God begins to commune with us. When Christians thank God, when Christians praise God, when Christians place their faith in God, God begins to open the doors of heaven to that believer. Amen? Has God began to open the doors to heaven in your life this morning? Simply place your faith in Him. Simply thank Him. Simply praise Him for what He did for you on Calvary. And place your faith there and watch Him work and watch Him move and watch Him begin to do things in your life that you never thought possible. In closing this morning, just as a story about the man who was part of this life-saving squad, this life-saving group, who saved person after person from death, who saved person after person from meeting the end of their life in that cold water, and not one of them came back to thank Him. Jesus is your life-saving squad. He's the one man life-saving squad. We cannot forget, we cannot simply pass by thanking him this morning for saving my life, because that's what he truly did, amen. He reached down and he went to Calvary. He won the victory and he saved my life and he saved your life this morning. And he continually will do this time and time again for those that will seek him. The purpose of this message this morning is to remind us that we need to be thankful to God. We need to praise God. That those two things are tied together, being thankful and praise, no matter what the circumstance, no matter what the trial, no matter what the tribulation in this earth that we're going through, no matter what these physical eyes can see happening, in the spirit, I need to thank God. In the spirit, I need to praise God. In the spirit, I need to continually place my faith, my confidence in who he is and what he's done. We need to develop that spirit of thankfulness in our lives toward God so that we can thrive in him, so that we can move closer to him, so that we can have communion with him. We need to remember the sacrifice that he paid, that great sacrifice, that great price that he paid on Calvary for us. The salvation, that justification, that sanctification, that our triumphing victory was won through him. Remember the promise that we read, 1 Chronicles 16:34-35. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endureth forever. And say ye, save us, O God, of our salvation, and gather us together, and deliver us from the heathen, that we may give thanks unto thy holy name, and glory in thy praise. We are to be thankful people. God produces this thankful characteristic in us. God produces the spirit of praise in us. You see, before we came to Christ, there wasn't a spirit of praise, was there? We might have sat on the sidelines or sat behind the TV and praised a sports team, praised a football team, a baseball team, but it wasn't true praise. It wasn't praise to God. Amen. Before we came to Christ, before we knew that he won the victory, before we knew that he took our sin debt, before we knew that he provided our justification, we didn't know what the true meaning of praise was. And this morning we see that praise and thankfulness are tied together. So when we praise him, in whatever form that you praise him, whether it's your hands lifted high, whether it's hands clapped together, whether it's a shout of victory, whether it's a simple prayer behind your seat, whatever way you praise him, God knows who you are and God hears your prayers. He's not a sports team who idly watches, who doesn't know, who just hears a cheer. He knows your individual name, and he wants your praise. He wants your thankfulness this morning. Not being thankful will produce unthankfulness. Ungratefulness leads to selfishness, and selfishness leads to an absence of God. This morning, I don't know about you, but I don't want an absence from God in my life. I want to be thankful to him. I want to praise him for all the wondrous things that he has done, all the great and mighty things that he tells me about in this word, all the fantastic things that he's done in my life for providing my salvation. I don't want an absence from God. I want to be closer day by day to him for what he's done for me. Thankfulness and praise is a choice that we have to make as believers. Today, choose to place your faith in him. Choose to put your confidence in him. Choose to be thankful to him. If everyone could stand, please. If you could stand with every head bowed and every eye closed, just there where you're at in your seat as we pray and we dismiss. Father God, we thank you that as we praise you, we can give you thanks. And as we thank you, Lord, that we can give you praise. We thank you that you're actively working in our lives, that you're here for us, that you're triumphing over things in our life, that you're continually giving us victory, that you're close to us, Lord. We thank you for all these things that we pointed out, Lord Jesus. But Lord, most of all, we're thankful for the sacrifice that you paid for us on Calvary. Lord, thank you for the victory that you won that we could never win, Lord Jesus. We thank you for the victory that we can only talk about, Lord Jesus, that we can only study, that we can only research, the victory that we will not know until we meet you face to face. Lord, we're thankful that our works on this earth don't mean anything. We're thankful that your work means everything. We're thankful that if we simply place our faith in that work that you've done for us, Lord God, you'll provide everything that we need. This morning, Lord Jesus, individually and as a body, as we go into this holiday of Thanksgiving, Lord Jesus, Lord, we're thankful for you most of all, Lord. We're thankful for what you've done for us, Lord Jesus. We're thankful for what you've done for us individually. We're thankful for what you've done for us in our families, Lord God. We're thankful for what you've done for our children. Lord, in this church body, Lord Jesus, we're thankful, Lord, and we give you praise today, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we're not going to leave this building this morning without thanking you, Lord, for paying that sacrifice, for paying that sin debt, for paying the debt that was owed by us on the cross, Lord Jesus, for shedding your precious blood, for washing our sins clean, Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you glory and honor today, Lord Jesus, and we thank you for being our King, for being our Savior, for being our Lord. In your name we pray, amen and amen. It's been good to be with you in the house of the Lord today. I pray that you have just a wonderful Thanksgiving. I just pray that you get to be together with family and just thank one another. But remember, in all this, thank Him for who He is and for what He's done. Amen.